And all of these, I guess, instances of prayer in the Bible will be familiar if you've read the Bible much at all. If not, obviously, there'll be maybe some nuggets that you can look at. But what we're going to look at tonight, obviously, we've been looking at, you know, just different aspects of prayer, different reasons to not get your prayers answered, reasons to get your prayers answered, some principles that we can take advantage of, and God's saying, please do, I want you to talk to me. But tonight we're going to look at what we would call a specific prayer. A lot of times we'll have general prayers. Lord bless our church, generally. And Lord send us visitors, send us converts, souls for our labor and things like that. And that's a general thing. But sometimes there are specifics, and like tonight we mentioned some of them. Some of you have a friend that you said, I want this right here specifically prayed for them because they're going through this situation. Sometimes maybe even an individual will have a specific prayer that they're praying to God and say, God, you know, I would like to do this. And I remember as a younger, way younger, I was, you know, 18, 19 years old in Bible college, and I would have a need. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I could call my mom or my dad and say, look, I have this need. And they would send me money. They would give me whatever I needed. And so on and so forth. But I remember as a younger preacher in Bible college, preparing to be a preacher, I would say, God, you know, I want to develop a prayer life. I want to just tell you. Maybe it's stingy. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. But I wanted to see God answer my prayers. All right. You know, because again, I could call my dad and say, Dad, I'm you know, $50 short on the school bill, or I need this book for this class. And I mean, he'd have done it just like that. And, you know, I wasn't sleeping all day in my dorm room. I was working and I was trying, you know, I was saving for an engagement ring. Woohoo. And, you know, I was doing some stuff like that. And so, you know, but there was prayers where I said, Lord, I need this. And so I remember one time, you know, there was a certain thing that I hadn't paid yet. And, I was taught to pay my bills just like, you know, most of you and probably all of you were. You pay your bills. You be honest. You do right. And so there was a amount that I needed and to pay this one bill. And, you know, I didn't have it. And it had to be by a certain date. And so I was like, Lord, again, and I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, I could call my dad and he would pay it. But I'm praying specifically that you would provide for this. I don't know how. I'm working, I'm doing this, I just need it. And so I remember going to my box, you know, right there in the entrance of the college, there was a, you know, receptionist window, and then there was these mailboxes. And, you know, you heard those doors open and shut, you know, a billion times. Little aluminum ones. And so we had our thing, and I remember opening it up, and there was a piece of paper in there, and I pulled it out, and what I'd been praying for had been taken care of. I don't know who did it, all right, but what I needed, God gave it to me, and didn't give it to me, he just took care of it. And there was the receipt of what I was praying for. And, you know, and I could just spend the rest of the night telling you times where God answered my specific prayer. I've used some of them in illustrations of when God called me to preach, saying, okay, God, I would like some verification here. I've never been called to preach before. All right. And so I asked him to do a couple things. And, you know, later on I read verses in the Bible where people put out fleeces and God did it for them and showed them, yes, this is what I want you to do, and so on and so forth. I didn't know those truths and stories back then. But God answers specific prayers. And so we might have our prayer list that we go over, and obviously Brother Rogers typed it out for us and we carry it around and put it in our Bible, or maybe we pray for it, maybe a sections of it a day or whatever. And but then there's all of a sudden there's this one that trumps all of those. Right? They're all important. Okay, and obviously there's loved ones on there, there's people that need to be saved on there. There's safety, there's wisdom, there's all kinds of stuff that we want to pray for. But then, lo and behold, we might have that specific prayer that, you know, when it comes to our personal life, it would come right above it. Okay? And it's kind of like on that piece of paper. You know, if you're praying for a list of 5 or 6 or 12 or 15 or how many of them is on there that's got cancer, you know, you pray for all of them. But if one of them's your dad or your mom, that's probably a little bit more specific, a little bit more urgency. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight is specific prayers. Where God, they told God or they asked God, I don't guess they were telling God. They were asking God, God, I need this right here specifically. And to done for it. So in other words, it was the singleness of desire. In other words, you know, sometimes, when I get hungry, and I'm sorry, Brother Steve, but stuff will start going through my mind, steak, taco, Mexican, you know, and I start getting, you know, I'm hungry, but then, you know, something will come to my mind that'll trump all that, and I want this, okay, and it, you know, all that other stuff would be good, and I'd be okay with eating it, but I really would like to have this specifically. And then, you know, you go to that restaurant and they're closed. Oh, you know, I had the taste was already in my mouth. I had my mouth fixed. I was ready. And you didn't get to eat that specific food. If your wife tells you, you know, I'm going to have this and this for tonight when you get home supper, man, you're thinking about it all day. You get home and she's like, you know, I went to the store and they didn't have, and you're like, oh. Why? Because you just think about it all day. You're ready. And so that's what happens when you get a specific prayer. In other words, it captivates your mind. It's, you know, it's hard to put it out of your mind. It's right there, and you need God to answer it. And so that's that singleness of that desire, or it becomes very, very important. And so we're going to look at Genesis 18. We'll start reading in verse 23, and we're going to see a specific prayer. And in verse 23, it says here, "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And so, of course, if the first 22 verses, Abraham has found out that God is fixing to just wipe the ground with Sodom and Gomorrah. And he knows his nephew, Lot, lives there with his wife and his kids, and now their in-laws and so on and so forth. And so he comes and he said, so in other words, it became specific. It became very important to him. He wasn't thinking about anything else, food, hobbies, even needs and necessities or job, nothing. He just, this took precedence. And so he came and said he drew near. And verse 24 says, "Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" And so, of course, he's specifically praying, God, if we can find 50 righteous people over there, will you stay your hand of judgment? And it says here, that be far from thee to do, and after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee, from thee. And it says, thou shalt not judge all the earth, do right. And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sakes. So Abraham's like, whew. And, you know, now we see here, we're going to see that in this specific prayer, Abraham's playing, let's make a deal. And a lot of us in here, we're probably pretty good at that. I was the world's best, let's make a deal if I was going to get a spanking. All right. Daddy, if I promise never, ever, 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 ever to do it again. All right. That usually got shot down. And so, but I was trying to, you know, do this instead of this and let's make a deal. So Abraham's praying and he gets to verse 27. Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, but I am dust and ashes." And so, of course, he's being humble here. He's coming to the Lord with a humble heart. "Preadventure, Lord, there be lack 5 of the 50 righteous." In other words, if there's 45 righteous people, "wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake yet again and said, "Preadventure, for there be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto them, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Preadventure, there be 30 found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Pre-adventure, there shall be 20 found." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "O Lord, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but this once. Pre-adventure, there be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went away, and soon the coming of Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So we see here the specific prayer. Abraham, you know, I'm sure he was wanting God to bless all the missionaries. He was wanting God to bless the church. He was wanting God to keep people safe as they travel. He was wanting God to give wisdom. He was wanting all that. But this one kind of jumped up to the top of his prayer list, because he knew his loved ones would be destroyed if God had destroyed that city. And so he kept going there. So we see here that God can answer prayers of one individual. Abraham didn't go to the prayer meeting at the church and get everybody to agree to pray with that, which there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible even says to do that. Where you two agree together and you pray. And just like we say tonight, and we added some to the list tonight, let's add this, and let's all pray for this situation. We want the cancer people to be healed. We want the doctors to have wisdom. We want people to be safe. We want situations to be worked out. But lo and behold, if something happened, tragically in our family, there might be a specific prayer that pops up there. So we see here that God can answer the individual prayer, but he also can answer the large group of prayer. James 5:16 says this, the effectual fervent prayer. In other words, it works. Whether it be an individual praying, it's effectual. And we're going to see here in just a second, if it's a group of people praying for a specific need, it works if this happens. So it says here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the key is for us to be righteous. And that's why a lot of people get, they'll call somebody and they say, "Look, I'm praying for this, but I would like you to pray with me." Why? Because I respect you as a Christian, and I respect you as someone I feel that you could get a hold of God. Why? Because this specific need is heavy on my heart. And so either way, we see here that effectual fervent prayer, that fervent is that very hot, glowing, great intensity or zealous. And so we see that, Abraham's praying, and he kept saying, "God, would you save it for 50? And don't get upset with me, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm kind of talking like I would talk. Don't get mad at me. Don't pinch my head off, but how about 45? All right. Well, what about 40? And he kept working it all the way down for 10, and he knew, obviously, in the back of his mind, and if you count Lot and his wife and his daughters and their son-in-laws, and hopefully they've led them to Christ and so forth. So we ought to be able to find 10. So we see here that specific, earnest, heartfelt prayer, it moved God's heart. And God said, "Yes, Abraham." Why? Because obviously God knew Lot was there. God knew the situation and so forth. And so him showing his fervent prayer, his earnest, heartfelt desire, it moved God's heart, and God said, "Okay." And so if we had that specific thing, again, we don't point our finger in God's face and say, you do this. No. He's like, I'm sitting in dust and ashes here, God. I'm not telling you what to do. Pre-adventure, please. I have a loved one there. And I really, really would like you not to destroy that and so forth. And we know the story. God got Lot out, but that was it. But anyway, we see here fervent, heartfelt, earnest, specific prayers moves the heart of God. So, and also righteous. It's kind of like that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." That's what that song's written about. That, hey, I want to keep myself right with God at all times. Why? Because there could be a specific prayer I need to pray quickly. So nothing between my soul and the Savior. The verse says that I'm not going to regard iniquity in my heart. I'm going to try my best to be right with God all the time. Why? Because this specific power is what moves the heart of God. So this one is really heavy on my heart, God. I really want you to listen to this. I know I pray all the time, and I ask you for this, and I ask you for that. But this one kind of trumps them all. Not that others aren't important, but I'm giving this one priority. This one is urgent. And so we see that communication is an important part of specific prayer. He was communicating to God. He was obviously getting God's attention. He was playing let's make a deal a little bit. But he saw that he was humble and that it was urgent to him. So Abraham in the dust and ashes, he prayed for Lot's deliverance. This was a specific prayer. He had the right spirit. It was heartfelt. He had the right mindset. This prayer was the centered, the thing that was on his mind. It was sparing Lot. Again, he wasn't saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. No, he was like, God, you got to understand. I want Lot to help. So we see we're just looking at how to get these specific prayers answered. He came humbly. It was fervent. It was sincere. But it was for somebody else. And that's why the Bible talks about that. That, you know, they always use that acronym, joy, Jesus, others, and then you. We are on the list, but how to find real joy is make sure Jesus is happy and take care of others and then us. So Abraham knew God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was concerned for Lot and his family. And so Abraham made his petition. Each time, it became more specific. It started out 50, and then it got all the way down to 10. It became more specific. And so I've heard people say, God, we have to have this much money by this much time, or God, we need to find a way to some medication that would help this specific illness, and we've got to have it now. And the doctor said, you know, the next few hours are critical, and we'll see. So those specific prayers. So God did answer prayer, Abraham's prayer, and got Lot out. Lot was rescued because of Abraham's prayer. So the destruction of Sodom still came, but Lot was rescued out. So in our country, we found every sin was every sin that was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah, you could find it in our country today. So praise the Lord. I believe we still have way more than 10 righteous people in our country, and they are praying that God will bless our nation. And so I believe that's why God has still spared our nation like He did last night. Amen. So we see here that we need to pray for our loved ones, and we need to pray that God blesses our nation, just like Abraham was saying, okay, Lord, I know it's too late for them, but let's get Lot out. Number two, Abraham's servant was a specific prayer. Let's flip over to 24. Genesis 24, another specific prayer. And this one, obviously Abraham's prayer was for Lot. It was for somebody else. This prayer was for somebody else. And this prayer specifically, this guy had a boss, and the boss said, hey, come here. Yes, sir. I want you to do this, this, and this. Oh, okay. So he left to go do that, how in the world am I going to do it type responsibility. And so his prayer was, Lord, this is specific. I know you've seen my prayer list. I come to you all the time about it, but I just got this dumped in my lap. And I have no clue. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to do it. And so I need your help. So it became a specific prayer. So sometimes we might be faced with something like that. We get told something by a boss. Or we get told something by a doctor. Or we get told something and we're like, what in the world do I do? I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to do that. What in the world? So we see that in this verse 12, the servant was told, I want you to go find a wife for my son. Okay? And verse 12, it says in Genesis 24, verse 12, it says here, and he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. So Abraham said, Eleazar, come here. All right, I trust you. And what I want you to do, I want you to go back to our hometown. And I want you to find Isaac a wife and bring her back. okay. So he said, behold, I stand here in this well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come and draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and that she may, and then she shall say, or shall say, drink, and I will give the camels drink also. And if you know anything about camels, they can drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And so, if somebody said that, obviously they were a pretty good servant. And said, but she that hath, thou hast appointed, for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou showest kindness unto my master. And so, obviously he was bringing out all stops here. You know, God, I know you and Abraham's pretty tight. And, you know, Abraham's asked me to do this. And so I'm not asking for me. I'm asking you for your will. I'm asking you to bless Abraham. And I'm sure if Isaac had a say in it, he would probably throw in some, make sure she's got this color hair and she's about this tall and her eyes are this color, and things like that. So, you know, I'm not asking for me, but I'm asking on your behalf. I want your will. And I'm asking for Abraham. You know, you and him are tight. And little Isaac, man, he's like, but it says here, and it came to pass before that he had done speaking. So we see that he's praying this prayer, riding that camel, and saying, you know, Lord, so this shows that we could pray while we're driving. Praise the Lord, we don't have camels these days that we ride, one hump or two. All right, we have a car, amen, with AC and all that kind of stuff. But it says here, Rebecca came out. That was born there, Bethuel, and Micah, it says here, his wife Nahor and Abraham's brother with her, the picture upon her shoulder, and the damsel was very fair. He said, okay, Isaac's going to be all right here. And to look upon a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant met her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon his hand, and he gave and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. He's like, woo! All right, until they have done drinking. And so she got busy doing it. And so we see that Eleazar was told something, wanted to please his boss, wanted to not get fired. But he wanted God's will. He wanted to please Abraham. And I don't know if Isaac had a say in it or not, but we see here that God took care of all of them. And you know the story where they come riding back, and buddy, he was waiting and looking, and she was waiting and looking, and she jumped off the camel, and they ran and things like that, and it was love at first sight. Sounded like a Hallmark movie, all right. But anyway, it was God answered the prayer, so a specific prayer. And so anytime that you're told to do something and you say, I don't have a clue, remember this story. Eleazar, you know, he didn't know, you know, singles.com or, you know, Christian Mingle, or, you know, there wasn't anything like that. It was just God. And I think that's probably a better avenue anyway. But anyway, we see that he said, God, what do I do? And so God, he played, let's make a deal. And God kept his specific prayers. And Eleazar, he wanted God's will, and he wanted the master's blessed. And I'm sure he wanted Isaac to be blessed as well. So great example of praying for others. Out of a heart and concern for them, we can write a sympathetic note, and we should. We can say sympathetic speeches, and we should. But we definitely ought to have prayers of sympathy on people as well. And so, again, we see that this is what Eleazar did. Number one, we saw Abraham prayed for Lot's deliverance. Secondly, we saw a specific prayer of Eleazar praying for Isaac's wife. Third one we're going to look at, and we won't take time to read them or go all the way over there, but Moses prayed for his sister Miriam's healing. And this is found in Numbers 12:13. And Moses, you know, he's getting ready to be a, you know, a servant of the Lord and work for the Lord and things like that. And his brother and his sister, you know, his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, just like siblings do. You know, Moses, you're getting a little too big for your britches. You know, you think you're all that in bag of chips. And he's like, dude, and do that. God's asked me to do this. And, you know, I'm not trying to be all that and things like that. And so, you know, a little sibling rivalry here. And but you read in Numbers 12, you'll see that they both started running their mouth about Moses a little bit. But Aaron obviously got convicted, and he came to Moses and said, look, my bad. I've been running my mouth about you. God's convicted me. I'm paraphrasing here. And I want you to forgive me. I've already asked God to forgive me. We're good. But Marion hadn't. And if you have a sister, you understand. All right? When sisters are mad, they're mad. And so Numbers 12:13 says here, and Moses cried unto the Lord. Why? Because he loved his sister. He was just as mad at her as she was mad at him. But sometimes we have to get over little skirmishes like that. If I want to be right with God and she wants to be right with God, we better just get over that. And so we see that Moses, he loved his sister, but God judged her. And if you read the whole chapter, he judged her with leprosy. And so here she is dying with leprosy. And Moses could have said, you know, I don't get her. She'd run her mouth about me. You know, she ought to, you know, realize she better respect. No, he did. He fell flat on his face. And in Numbers 12:13 it says here, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. So a specific prayer. Somebody that God had asked to lead the children of Israel, and his brother and sister kind of got bent out of shape about it. And, you know, who's he think he is? And Aaron got right with the Lord about it, but Marion didn't, and God judged her. And so, but Moses prayed specifically. And he says, God, I'm not offended. All right, so heal her, please. I know the Bible says die to self, and so, you know, I forgive her. I'm not worried about it. I just want my sister healed. You know, they should not have, you know, yeah, they shouldn't have said that about me. But they did. I forgive them. You know, they're going to make me look bad in front of everybody. He didn't say that. You know, they're trying to ruin my reputation. He didn't say that. They're trying to ruin my life. He didn't say that. They embarrassed me. He didn't say that. He just said, Lord, heal her now. So we see a specific prayer. So he said, nope, I'm not going to say those things. I'm going to ask God to heal her right now. So criticize them back? No, he didn't do that. Get even with them? Nope, he didn't do that. Point out their mistakes? Nope, he didn't do that. He just prayed immediately. Why? Because it was a specific prayer. So instead of that criticizing, he prayed and God healed her. So God's judgment was stayed from Lot because of Abraham's prayer. God's judgment from Miriam was stayed because of Moses' prayer. So we see all these specific prayers. The fourth one we'll look at, and I'll read you one verse, is Samson. He had a specific prayer. And of course, if you read the life of Samson, you know he had a problem with the girls. And, you know, Delilah was about his third or fourth little, you know, encounter with a girl, if you look at it. And so forth and so on. And he had issues with that. And, it was kind of funny, that his eyes were always looking at the girls and he lost those. And there's stories in the Bible about, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know, make a covenant with your eyes and don't do that. So those principles are there. But Samson was right with God. He was strong. He did a lot of great things for the Lord. But in Judges 16, verse 28, it says here, and Samson called unto the Lord. So, obviously, I don't think this prayer would have gotten through if he hadn't gotten right already. Okay? We know he's already lost his eyes. They burned him out with a poker. And he's basically being used as an animal at a grinding wheel. And in Judges 16, verse 28, he prayed a specific prayer. And again, with all the principles in the Bible about effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, I don't think this much would have happened if he hadn't gotten right already. So I'm sure as he's walking around blinded at that grinding wheel, he's probably saying, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. All those girls just got me in trouble. And I want you to forgive me. And what I got left of my life, I want to serve you with it. And it kind of goes all the way down to Judges 16:28 says this, and Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord, God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my eyes. And you know the story. You go on and read it, and it said that he did more in his death than he did in his life for the Lord. So that specific prayer was prayed by Samson, and God answered it. And he said, you know, God, my specific desire, my specific object, the specific answer, the specific results that I want, these are all intense. And I want you to do this, and I want you to get the glory for it, and things like that. So he was not whining or crying or blaming or doing anything like that. He said, God, just this one time, would you please? So we see a specific prayer got answered by God again. The next one we'll look at is Hannah. Samson prayed for a supernatural strength, and God gave it to him. And once again, and that's what it said in that verse there. Then this next one is Hannah prayed for a son. 1 Samuel 1:27. And if you read the context of all this in 1 Samuel 1:27, yes, any lady that has a desire to have children and can't, there's that yearning desire. And obviously, she prayed about it all the time. She was consumed with it. This specific prayer, God, give me a child. Give me a child. Give me a child. And so, obviously, if you've ever been that way or have ever known anybody that way, you can understand that. But there's more to the story. Eli's gotten old. All right, the preacher. He's old. And he's not going to be there much longer. And so not only was she wanting a child, but not just to play baby. You know, she wanted one that would be raised in the church and that could take Eli's spot and say, you know, our whole country needs a man of God and he's fixing to die. And somebody might say, well, he's got two boys. Yeah, read the context of those two boys. Hophni and Phinehas, I mean, they were doing wicked stuff in the church house. I mean, having parties, and I could use other words that would be not appropriate, that they were doing inside the church. And so not only was that prayer for a specific, I want a kid, I want to have a baby, but not only, if you'll give it to me, if you'll give me a son, I'll take him right down there to that church and let him be raised to take Eli's spot. Why? Because we all know Hophni and Phinehas playing with that strange fire and all that junk that they're doing. They're not going to take over. They're going to lead them into worse sin. So we see here this specific prayer wasn't just, oh, it'd be nice to have a little baby smell. All right? Nothing that Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo and powder. Oh, I can still smell it. All right? Now, we hadn't had that in 30 years. But that was my favorite time. Because most of the time, those two little rascals stunk. All right? Gym shoes. practice clothes. I mean, they just stunk. All right? But if they went, when they were little, and we gave them baths with that Johnson & Johnson and that powder and all that stuff, and they just, oh man, you could just hold them. But it went further than that. And so I believe that's why God did it, because she wanted a kid. But it was so he can serve you, God. You have a child that surrenders to the mission field. I've been there. Whoa, wait, time out. Yeah, that's too far. And that's what she said. I'll give him right back to you. And so she prayed for that son, and God gave it to her. That was a specific prayer that she prayed. So we see Abraham prayed for Lot's deliverance. Eleazar prayed for Isaac's wife. Moses prayed for his sister Miriam's healing. Samson prayed for that supernatural strength, specific prayers. Hannah prayed for a son that would become that prophet. And so Elijah prayed for fire to fall from heaven. And again, we won't take time on this one a lot because I just preached about that not too long ago. But in 1 Kings 18, verses 36 and 35, basically the specific prayer was, All right, God, we're not just messing around here. I'm going to challenge them. If Baal lights that altar up, we'll stop serving you and we'll serve Baal. But on the other hand, and so of course we know the story. It says here, you know, it wasn't a flowery prayer. You know, Elijah wasn't a flowery type person. It wasn't a long prayer. If you read it in 1 Kings 18, 36 through 38, basically it had 63 words. Took about 40 seconds to say. So it wasn't a flowery prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. He just prayed and asked God to show Himself mighty. And God did it. So the next one, the last one, I believe it is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had a specific prayer. And this is found in Luke 18, 38 through 41. And it says here, "And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And so most of those specific prayers were for other people. They were for Lot. They were for Isaac. They were for Miriam. They were for, you know, supernatural strength to show that God was in charge. Obviously, Hannah prayed for a son, but it was for him to be a preacher as well. And Elijah prayed that fire would fall, that God would be shown mighty. This man, obviously, it was a specific prayer for himself. And it says here, he cries saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And it goes on to say, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And so, of course, you know, all of us in here can see. We know we have a church member that can't. So we understand stuff like this. All right? You know, most people might have said, "Give me some money." "Hey, Lord, what would you have me to do? Change my bank account from this to this." We might have said, you know, "Lord, I have this kind of car and I'd rather have this car." Or, "Lord, I live in this size house, I'd rather live in this size house." We might have done something like that. But this man, he wanted to see. And so it was a specific prayer for his sight. So we may be able to see physically, but we ought to ask God that we can see spiritually. And so we ought to, you know, say, I want to see what this encounter means. I want to see what this pressure is doing. I want to see why I'm having this opposition. I want to see why this obstacle is here and what you're trying to teach me. I want to see why I fear. And so we ought to ask God that we can see, but that we can see spiritually. And so if we have one big thing, others might not see what the big deal is, but it's important to us. You know, he was screaming that day, and they were saying, "Shh, be quiet." But you know what he did? He got louder. And so why? Because it was a big deal. Others might not think it's a big deal to be able to see spiritually, but it ought to be a big deal. Others might think it's not that important, but it is important. So it's up to us to pray for ourselves. "God, I don't want my country to continue in this direction. God, I don't want just to live here and do this and that and have nothing to show for it when I get to heaven. God, I don't want to be discouraged anymore. God, I don't want to just be burdened anymore. I want to know why I can't see, why you've allowed this. So show me. Show me." So he was specifically saying, "God, give me sight." So there were some specific prayers. Obviously, God can answer general prayers. Bless everybody. Bless the church. Bless the missionaries. But tonight we spoke specifically about a couple. I want God to bless them all. But Brother Carter said, "These men right here need to be saved and come to our church." Brother Evil Dare said, "I'd like my back to feel better so I can do more for God." So sometimes they're specific. So God can, He can answer in general prayers, but He can answer specific prayers as well. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day and thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for being a prayer-answering God. But Lord, obviously all these stories that we looked at tonight, we appreciate You preserving them and putting them in Your Bible so that we could hear about them. But Lord, You put them there for a reason. Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to learn from them. Lord, help us to desire to please You. God, we thank You for the opportunity for prayer, and we thank You for being a specific prayer answering God. In Jesus' name, amen.